Genesis chapter 2. We're going to talk about God's rest. And just stopping all of our striving. You know, and the scripture says, if you know, we're going to strive to enter his rest. And I thought, that's kind of a oxymoron, right? Randy gave me that word just now. You strive to enter his rest. In Genesis 2, you know, why should we enter God's rest? Verses 1 through 3. It says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And that, it means all. He rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. And this is the first time in the scriptures where the word holy is used. So he blesses it and makes that day of rest holy. It says, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Let's look at Genesis 8. And verse 8. That's not it. Anyway, I'll read what I have here down here. I think I put the wrong thing. It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. All right. Well, the name Noah means rest. So what finds grace in the eyes of the Lord? When we're resting in him. When we rest in him, we're open to have his grace.
Right.
What was that?
6:8.
6:8. It's funny how this 6 looked like an 8. I thought maybe it turned out if six turned out to be 9, but it looked like an 8. Okay, 6:8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the name Noah, it not only means rest, it means to settle down. Not only an absence of movement, but being settled in a particular place with overtones of finality or victory.
Wow.
Derivatives of this root are rest, quietness, soothing, a giving of rest, a resting place. Significantly, the competing lineage of Cain ends up in the land of Nod. And the land of Nod means restless wandering. Just an endless wandering about. And when we lose our focus on entering God's rest, we tend to wander. Other things become our focus. Now, I was involved in a group a while back, and some of us here were too, where it seemed like every month or so, there was something new that we had to enter into. You know, whether it would be a Timothy ministry or becoming one of the little people. You had to have been there, I guess. You have to release Joel's army. You know, this next word is the word that's going to do it all for us. And there was so much striving, and then it created competition. Well, I'm more humble than you, and I'm going to be the best Timothy servant to the apostles. And, you know, and it just creates a striving. And then it creates, at least speaking for myself, a condemnation that you're just not doing good enough. And it must be because I'm not striving enough. So you strive enough, and then more condemnation comes because you're not making it. You're not cutting it, you know. And you look around and you see other people, and it's like the disciples arguing who's going to be the greatest. You know, John and James, wasn't it? The mom said, let them sit at your right hand or your left. You know, maybe the other apostles should have thought of that, you know, earlier. But it just creates, in the midst of one of the greatest nights in the history of the world, the Last Supper, what are the disciples doing? They're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. But what's John doing? What's John the Apostle doing? What's he doing? He's leaning on Jesus' breast. Peter, who was quick to proclaim, I love God, I love the Lord. Lord, I'll never deny you. Lord, I'm willing to go die for you. He's wondering, well, ask him who's going to betray him. And John was saying, if you read the book of John, and it's funny, it only appears in the book of John, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. When we proclaim our love, things can go wrong. But when we recognize his love towards us, then we can come to that place of rest. It's not how much we love him. It's how much he loves us.
Amen.
While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And his love, what does it say? It's unfathomable. You can't comprehend it. So it's better to come to a revelation or a knowing that Jesus loves you than it is to proclaim how much you love him. Because sometimes something always comes up to stumble you about that. But his love is always there to catch us. He's always there. Let's look at when we're at rest is when we can enjoy God's grace. God has accomplished all he needed to do. Adam and Eve were placed into a finished work. You know, I mentioned the group I used to be with, and it was always, we're going to bring the kingdom down, we're going to just grab it, and we're going to force it here. God already finished. He's done. He's done with his work. We need to rest in him and be assured. It talks about about Jesus, the Last Supper says, knowing that he had come from God and that he was going back to him, he had a confidence. It says he what? Went and washed the disciples' feet, showed them his love. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. And verses 4 through 10. Did you know God is rich? God is very rich. But God, who is rich in mercy, God, who is rich in mercy, has an overabundance of it. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Does it say anything in there what we're supposed to be doing? Oh, it's all him. He's the one that showed us his mercy, that gave us his love, that raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. You know, you can't out-sin God's grace. You can't out-stumble it. It's like, scale. Put God's grace here. And whatever we go through on this one, and God's grace is always going to be greater. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Who prepared them?
God.
That we should walk in them. Resting in the Lord doesn't mean that we're just sitting on the beach somewhere, although that's personally what I'm trying to get it to be. But resting in the Lord is knowing that He has prepared everything for us, and we're just to walk in it. It says He gave us a gift. You know, gifts are usually free. Someone doesn't give you, oh, here's a gift for you, now you owe me, you know. Then it's not a gift. God doesn't expect that from us, because we've been bought with a price. Christ Jesus is the one who paid the price for that gift. It's freely given to us. It cracks me up whenever I hear evangelists or preachers say, oh yeah, you can't buy a miracle, but if you do this and, you know, give your money towards this, but we're not selling miracles, you know. Well, then don't ask for the money. That's, you know, it's a gift. Freely you have been, what does it say? Freely you have received, freely give. The free gift of God. We don't have to do anything to attain it. Let's look at Matthew 8. One of the things that restrained Jesus, you know, and He was restrained, He said, I can only do what I see the Father doing. If the Father wasn't doing it, He wasn't doing it. Jesus, you know, Lazarus is dead. Okay, I'm going to wait 4 days. You know, it's not really the response you would expect. But the Father's waiting 4 days, and then He's going to wait 4 days. He only did what He saw the Father doing. Matthew 8. That's one of the Gospels, isn't it? Matthew 8. Let me get there. And behold, there, verse 24. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. Anyone ever feel like you're being swamped by waves? Where you're in the boat, you know that saying, we're all in this boat together, you know. But in your life, the saying can come where you feel like you're just being swamped. You can't handle it. You know, you're fearful. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's you can't find a job. You know, maybe whatever it is, it seems to come and want to sink you. Well, Jesus is in the boat, and what is He doing? He's asleep. And the disciples, He was resting. He knew He was supposed to make it to the other side of the lake. Why fight it? I know I'm supposed to be over there. And the disciples said, well, don't you care for us? A lot of times when God moves and we get in circumstances where we think, well, maybe God just doesn't care for me. And believe me, He does care for you. You feel like you're being swamped? Look at the Lord Jesus. What is He doing? He's resting. That's what we should be doing. When we come against these waves and these things that torment us and tear us apart, we should be resting in the grace of God, knowing that He will bring us through it. I think also later it says He stood up and rebuked the winds, and they said, oh, you know, even the winds obey Him. Well, it took faith to do that, because He rebuked them, oh, you have little faith. But I want the faith that allows me to be asleep and resting when the storms come. You know,
That's right.
You put on the full armor of God, right? And then what does it say to do? Go to battle?
No.
It just says to stand. Put all this on and then stand there. You're resting in what God has given us. When we enter God's rest, then we cease our own striving and are able to fulfill His will. It takes faith to enter His rest. Matthew 11, verse 29. Let's look at that. The last few years, I've read this scripture over and over and quoted it and reminded God of it. Matthew 11, 29. Let's start with 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find what? Rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's Christ taking on the sin of the world to be made sin. And he's saying, my burden is easy, my yoke is light. But he's calling us to come and rest in him. Quit just striving. You know, quit fighting it. Just come to him and say, Lord, I rest in you. I know all this stuff around me is, you know, churning and pushing me here and there, but I'm going to rest in you, Lord. And he's faithful to show you what his will is in it. We all know the story of Mary and Martha. Mary was resting at his feet. And what was Martha doing? She was, you know, getting everything prepared. And one thing I thought about that was activity should not be confused with being spiritual. It's because we're doing a lot of activity. We think, oh, you know, we're doing God's will in it. We are not judged on our performance. However, we are commanded to do good deeds and to love one another. For we are his, back to Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I'm going to close with Hebrews 4. Let's look at that. Hebrews 4, verse 1 through 11. How important is this rest? Verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Sounds to me like entering his rest is pretty important. To cease from our striving. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. It takes faith to enter into the rest of God. It takes faith to be in a boat where the storms are raging and just say, that's okay. God has it under control. I'm just going to rest in him. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Is there anything new out there that we're supposed to do? He finished his works from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. I love this in verse 4. Another version says, for somewhere it is written. And I thought, cool, Paul had a senior moment. Well, for somewhere it's written. And in another place... And somewhere else, he wrote, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear his voice. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let's just end our striving. Let's walk in the works that he has prepared for us to walk in from the foundation of the world. You know, we're in this world, and I love the scripture where Jesus says, in the world you'll have trouble, but don't worry, I've overcome the world. Amen. Lord, bless the word to our hearts this morning. Okay. All right.